Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. March 18th, 2014, in Vrindavan, India, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, Text 10 to 13. So we'll just read the translation for 10, 11, 12, and then we'll read the Sanskrit for 13, although it's in prose. So text 10, this is about the sons of Rishabhdev. So he had 100 sons. This is a basic description of the 100 sons. Text 10, following Bharat, there were 99 other sons. Among these were 9 elderly sons, named Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Brahmavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Bhadrasena, Indraspruk, Vidarbha, and Kitata. Texts 11 to 12. In addition to these sons were Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalaya, Avirhotra, Jumila, Chamasa, and Karana Bhajana. These were all very exalted, advanced devotees and authorized preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. These devotees were glorified due to their strong devotion to Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they were very exalted. To satisfy the mind perfectly, I, Sukadev Goswami, shall hereafter describe the characteristics of these 9 devotees when I discuss the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. And then text 13, which is in prose. Yavi Yamsa Ekastir Jayanteya Pittur Adesha Kara Maha Shalina Maha Shrotriya Yagna Shila Karma Visudha Brahmana Babu Vahu. Do you repeat prose verses or? No. Okay. Yavi Yamsaha. Younger. Ekastitihi. Numbering 81. Jayanteyaha. The sons of Jayanti, the wife of Rishabhadev. Pituhu, of their father. Adekshakaraha, following the order. Mahashalinaha, well-behaved, well-cultured. Mahastrotriyaha, extremely learned in Vedic knowledge. Yajnashilaha, expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies. Karma Vishuddhaha, very pure in their activities. Brahmanaha, qualified Brahmanas. Babu Vuhu, became. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In addition to these 19 sons mentioned above, there were 81 younger ones, all born of Rishabhadev and Jayanti. According to the order of their father, they became well-cultured, well-behaved, very pure in their activities, and expert in Vedic knowledge and the performance of Vedic rituals. Thus, they all became perfectly qualified brahmanas. Purport. From this verse, we have good information of how the castes are qualified according to quality and work. Rishabhadev, a king, was certainly a kshatriya. He had 100 sons, and out of these, 10 were engaged as kshatriyas and ruled the planet. 9 sons became good preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabhagavatas, and this indicates that they were above the position of brahmanas. The other 81 sons became highly qualified brahmanas. These are some practical examples of how one can become fit for a certain type of activity by qualification, not by birth. All the sons of Maharaja Rishabhadev were kshatriyas by birth, but by quality, some of them became kshatriyas and some became brahmanas. 9 became preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Dharma Darshanaha, which means that they were above the categories of kshatriya and brahmana. So we know anything, we're going to identify anything, we do it by its qualities and function. Chaturvarna mayasristam guna karma vivagasaha. Guna and karma. And qualities leads to activities. The qualities that something has indicates its function. And if we can't tell the qualities of something, we don't understand what is its function, what is our relationship, how do we behave. So some years ago, I went into a shop in London, and the person who was in the shop, young person, couldn't be more than 20, and I couldn't understand if this person was a man or a woman. I just couldn't. Sometimes I'd say, oh, it's a man. No, it's a woman. Oh, maybe it's a man. Maybe it's a woman. I couldn't understand. And the person had a name, but it was a name I couldn't also tell if it was a male name or female name. And when I left the shop, I thought, why did I even care? Why was it bothering me? Why was I even wondering? And then I understood, if I don't know someone's identity, I don't know how to relate with them. First there has to be sambandha, and then abhideya. If you don't understand what is someone's identity, you can't deal with them. And I understood, if it's a woman, I deal one way, and a man, I deal another way. So I didn't understand how to deal. So in our lives also, we have to decide, what will I do? And this, what will I do, is based on who I am. You cannot decide what will I do unless you first understand who I am. So Prabhupada one time asked the devotees, how do you preach? And the devotee said, oh, we say there must be a God. Prabhupada said, no. First you preach, what? Na jayate niyate vakadache nayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuyaha ajonacha shasvato yam prano nahanyate hanyamane shriye. First you preach this. First you have to preach identity. Who are we? And how do we understand our identity? We understand our identity by our qualities. And this is true on this. This verses here are talking about both the material level, varna, are the sons, brahmins, or kshatriyas, or the spiritual level, are they mahabhagavatas? Are they above, as Prabhupada says here, above the categories of brahman and kshatriya? And all this is understood by qualities. First you understand qualities, from qualities you understand identity, from identity you understand what you're supposed to do. And what is your goal? Is this reasonable? Right? You want anything, even a material object. You know, you first, what is the qualities of this? What? And then you can say, oh, it's a microphone. The qualities are an amplified sound. Therefore, it has an identity as a microphone. Then you can figure out its function. So, first we're going to look at the spiritual, and then we're going to look at the material. So if we want to know what is our identity, our ultimate, our real identity, that's important. Yes, to understand our temporary identity is also important. Undoubtedly, that is also important. But most important is to understand our eternal identity. Because temporary identity may be very temporary. Not only the whole world, bhutva, bhutva, praliyate, but we are also. Krishna says, whoever takes birth, death is certain, and death may come at any moment. You can't say, well, I'm going to live to be 115, you know. So I may only have this temporary identity for another 5 minutes. Yes? So to understand, or Burjan Prabhu calculated, that according to Lord Brahma, our whole human life is 8 billionths of a second long. So even if you live for 100 years, it's only 8 billionths of a second in the universe. So to know what is my identity for 8 billionths of a second, that is important. Because one has to know one's function in the world, but more important is what is my eternal identity? Who am I eternally? So Sanatan Goswami comes to Mahaprabhu, Kayami. He says, everyone says I'm a pandit, but I don't even know who I am. If I don't know who I am, I can't understand what to do. So what are our qualities that we can understand who I am? So all of us want eternal life, yes? But we don't want eternal life like some 500-year-old person in a wheelchair, you know, with a cane. And we don't want life like that. We want to live forever in youth and health. Yes, is this a fact? Anyone here want to be sick? Anybody? No. Anybody want to be disabled? No. So we want to live a vibrant life. This is one of our qualities, and this is one of the qualities of everyone. It's not only that Urmila thinks like this. Everybody thinks like this. Even the little insects, even the little ant, if they think you'll step on them, they become frightened and they go away. I want to live. I want to live. So that is one of our qualities. Another one of our qualities is we want to understand. We are very curious. If you want to motivate people, give them a mystery to unfold. And then they'll be very motivated. They'll be very interesting. We always want to understand. We want to know. We don't like being in ignorance. It's very frustrating to us that our senses are so limited, that I cannot see anything clearly. Huh? It's very limited, very frustrating. We want to understand, and we want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. All the advertisements, you know, you buy this toothpaste, you buy this life insurance, and you will be happy. Nobody's advertising, you know, buy this toothpaste and you will become unhappy. And nobody will buy it. And we want unlimited happiness. We don't want a happiness that ends. You know, we just sort of tolerate it, but we don't like that. And we want the happiness to be full of varieties. We don't want to be bored. These are our qualities. If you examine what is the qualities of life, those are our qualities. And we want relationships. The whole world is full of relationships. Even the plants have relationships with insects and with other plants and with the earth. And everything is full of relationships. And we want these relationships also to be eternal and to be full of happiness, to be full of surprises, to be full of variety, and to keep getting better and better. Like in this section of the Bhagavatam, we read about Priyavrata and how his relationship with his wife, Bahirshmati, it kept getting better and better. Usually in the world, relationships are not like that. But we want like that. We wanted the love between our family, our friends, to go on increasing. So this tells us something about who we are. These are the basic qualities of all living beings, everybody. You could say, some people want to die, they commit suicide. But they don't want to die. If you went to somebody going to commit suicide and you said, I will solve all your problems, would they die? No. All right. So it's everybody. And we can see that these qualities, they are opposed to matter. These are not the qualities of matter. Matter is constantly dying, constantly. You buy some new machine, you know, you buy a machine and immediately it starts to die, starts to fall apart. It's called entropy. Everything is like that. Right? You pick a flower and immediately it starts to wither, it starts to get old. Everything matter, it disintegrates. It starts to go back into undifferentiated. Right, so the tree, it's pulling the sun and the water and the earth, but then again it goes back into sun and water and earth. And matter is full of ignorance, right? This chair, it doesn't know anything. It doesn't know that I'm sitting on it. It doesn't know it's in Vrindavan. It doesn't know anything. But we want to know. And matter cannot be happy or sad also. This chair, it cannot be happy or sad. It has no, if I hit it, it doesn't become angry. I like that pastime at Rath Yatra with Srivas Thakur, right? When Harishchandra was pushing him, you know that story? So Srivas Thakur, Madras Prataparudra, they're trying to watch Mahaprabhu dancing in the Rath Yatra. He's dancing in seven parties. And so Maharaj Prataparudra, who could see that the Lord was dancing in seven parties, he's just, because not everybody could see, so he's watching. And Srivas Thakur is also watching. But Harishchandra wanted to watch. So just like happens here all the time. So Harishchandra was pushing. Srivas, you please, you know, move? And he's pushing him. And Srivastakura's like, who's pushing me? Who's pushing me? So then he turns and hits him. Stop pushing me. And then Harichandra, he was going to retaliate. And Maharaj Pratiparudra said, oh, you are so fortunate that you have been touched by Srivastakura. I do not have such fortunate. But someone who's alive, they have feelings. This is my point. The chair has, I can keep hitting the chair. It will never hit me back. It will never protest. It doesn't care about being happy. And matter, it doesn't have any relationships. You know, we might think I have a relationship with my car, but your car is not thinking I'm having a relationship with you. Right? You may think I have a relationship with my computer, my phone. I love my phone, but your phone is not loving you. So if we see our qualities, we can understand our identity. Our identity must not be material. Must be. Because we don't have the qualities of matter. Then from my qualities, just like these sons, by their qualities, one could understand these 10 sons are Kshatriyas, these 9 sons are Mahabhagavat, these 81 sons are Brahmana. But ultimately, by our qualities, we can see that we are not material. Therefore, our actions should be not material. Now, how do you do not material actions? This is a big problem. How do you do this? And because we have this philosophy of Achincha Beta Beta Tattva, we can do this. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadav yaktamotina matstani sarvabhutani nachaham te suvasita. Everything Krishna is here in his unmanifested form. Bhumirapanalovayu kamano buddharevacha. This is his vina prakriti, separated energy. So even matter is the energy of the Lord, and therefore I can use matter in spiritual service. This is our basic philosophy. And we can do everything like that. As we start acting according to our spiritual identity, then more and more we realize our spiritual identity. That is the process of bhakti. Understand first, theoretically, I have the qualities of spirit, not of matter. Then, I must be spirit. That must be my identity. Then my job is to act according to spirit. My job is not to act according to matter. We can understand this in a general way. And then we start acting. Oh, let me hear about the spirit. Let me hear about Krishna. Let me talk about Krishna. Let me remember Krishna. Let me go to places like Vrindavan where Krishna has his lila. Let me serve the Lord's mission. And we start acting according to the spiritual platform. Now, not only do we see that we have the qualities of spirit, but we can also see some other aspect of our identity. We talked about Satchit Ananda and Rasa, but we didn't talk about something else that is also part of our qualities, if I want to know who am I. So how do we find the greatest happiness? This is a great mystery. So materialistic people like Darwin, they say you find the greatest happiness by taking from others and exploiting others. Struggle for survival. Bhagavatam also says, one living entity is food for another. So there may be this idea that I become happy by taking. Just like now in this very materialistic world, we have a global culture of materialism all over the world. And it doesn't matter whether you're in America or you are in France or you are in China, and we have to say, or in India. It's a very materialistic culture. I was talking to some of our Indian body devotees in Texas, and I was saying, it's difficult to be a devotee in America. They said it was much harder in India. They said, in India, the pressure is make money, make money, make money, make money. Get a good job, get a good job. No time for sadhana. So in this materialistic society, we may not understand this aspect of our quality and our identity, because the materialistic society says, take, take, take. Have other people work hard and suffer, and you take. Right? You exploit. Enjoy at the expense of somebody else. Jai Shishi Gonitai, Krishna Balaram Radhasham. But if we think a little bit, we will discover that we do not become happy by taking. Like the most gross kind of taking is to steal. So when I was a little girl, I stole something from school. I stole a little spoon. So who here has ever stolen anything in their whole life? We have some very interesting people here. So I remember when I took this little spoon from my school, because I had a little set at home from my dolls, a little plate and spoon and fork, but my spoon got lost. And in the school, they had the same kind of set, so I took the spoon and I took it home. I put it in my bag, you know. But I didn't enjoy that spoon. I never got any happiness from that, because I was taking. Do you understand? Have you had this? Those of you who have stolen, some of you have never stolen anything your whole life, but those of you who have stolen something, did it give you happiness? No, because you're in anxiety. When will I be found out? When will I get into trouble? And any kind of taking, it doesn't give us happiness. When do we find the most happiness? When we are giving. It's a mystery. The materialists cannot make any sense out of this. Now, they try to explain this through evolution, but they can't really. Because if we are just matter, then we would get the most pleasure by taking. Why would we care about anybody else? But if you have some money and you spend it on something for yourself, you get some happiness. But if you spend it on somebody you love, you get more happiness. Yes, we've experienced this. It's a very interesting quality. That we get more happiness by giving than by taking. So this also tells us something of our nature. This is our dharma. Our dharma is to give. Why is our dharma to give? Because that is the nature of reality. Sarvagatam Brahma Nitya Yajna Pratishthitam. God is everywhere. Sarvagatam, he's in every place. How do you find him? Where is God? Hiranyakashipu was thinking, no way you could find God. If he's everywhere, you don't have to worry about him. Okay? Where do you find him? Nitya yajna pratishthitam. You find God in yajna. Tapaso ridayam sakshat atmaham tapaso, the Lord says to Brahma. Tapasa, austerity, ridayam, heart, sakshat, directly. Tapasya, the Lord said, is my very heart. Atmaham, atma, aham, my very self is tapasya. We think of tapa can also be translated as misery. But when you do sacrifice and austerity out of love, you become happy. In fact, there is no meaning to love without sacrifice. Doesn't mean anything. If you say, I love you, but you will not sacrifice, there's no love. We have all had friends who said, oh, I love you, you are my friend, but then they will not sacrifice for us. We've had this experience. Yes. And then we can understand, oh, it's not my friend. As soon as there's need of sacrifice, they are gone. We call this in English, fair weather friend. I am your friend when it's nice for me, when it's not nice for me, I am gone. So in order to have this happiness we are seeking, in order to have these relationships, we give. And who is the supreme giver? Krishna. Now Krishna is giving light and heat and food and even to the criminals. Krishna is giving everything. So engaging in the activities of spirit means in the mood of a giver. Not like the Brahmavadis. The Brahmavadis also understand by my qualities, I am spirit, and I should engage in activities of spirit. They also agree with us on that level, but they do not see that our qualities are also that of giving. That is where we find the happiness. So if we want to have the activities of spirit, not only do we hear, but we hear as a servant to give pleasure to Krishna. We chant as a servant to give pleasure to Krishna. We remember to give pleasure to Krishna. We serve to give pleasure to Krishna. We serve the lotus feet of the Lord, going on parikram, serving the devotees, worshiping Tulsi, to give pleasure to Krishna. We become Krishna's friend and surrender everything to give pleasure to Krishna. We offer worship to give pleasure to Krishna. The essence of spiritual activities is Anya Bilasita Sunyam Jnana Karma Anavritam Anukulena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttamam. And what is the most important word there? That we could debate, I think. But we'll say Anukulena. To please Krishna. To please Krishna. This is our quality. We want to please someone. You see this quality even in a very young child or a very young animal. Do you know that very young animals, animal trainers, if they want to train animals, they cannot use punishment with very young animals. Did you know that? It will not work. If they want to use punishment, they want to beat the animal, they have to wait till it's a little grown up. The young animal will not respond to punishment. But the young animal will respond to affection. Isn't that interesting? A young animal will try to please, just like the little child will try to please. We are actually, this is our quality. We want to please someone. Obedience, okay, but we're more interested in pleasing someone than in obeying someone, yes? So if we understand my qualities are spiritual and not just spiritual, my qualities are a giver, a servant, then my identity is as a servant, and then my activity should be to please my source. To please whom? To please everybody? Can you please everybody? Independent of Krishna, is that possible? Can you perfectly please your mother? Anybody here, 100%? Can you please your mother, 100%? Your father, can you please 100%? If you have wife, your wife, husband, can you please 100%? It's not possible. I always give the example, the wife, on Monday she makes lasagna, and the husband says, "Oh, thank you, you have made lasagna." And she thinks, oh, this is how to please him. So Tuesday she makes lasagna, and then he says, 2 days in a row. You cannot perfectly please everybody independent of Krishna, but you can perfectly please Krishna. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakti prayachati, tanaham bhakti paritam, ashnami prayatatma. Very simple. To please Krishna, just a little water, huh? And Krishna's pleased. You don't have to make all these gorgeous flowers. I mean, if you have the money, you should make the gorgeous flowers and not just give water. But if we take everything we're doing, is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? All the time, everything. Everything. When we're brushing our teeth, when we're washing our clothes, if we have a job, if we have a family, whatever we're doing, is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? That is then my dharma, according to my identity. And of course, if we act that way, then what will happen is our understanding of our identity will become more and more and more specific. Because we are not all just spirit and servants. But we are all individuals. As Krishna said, never was there a time when you did not exist, nor I, nor all these kings, nor in the future will we cease to be. We are eternal persons. We are eternal persons. We have always been a person. Person means personality. You cannot be a person without personality. There are some philosophers of the Vedas who says, yes, yes, we are persons, just that we are distinct from one another. But we also have personality. So it's not just that we are a servant. It's we are a very specific servant. Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary in the 10th canto, chapter 14, I can't remember the verse, I think it's 53. He says that the Lord has unlimited qualities and unlimited jivas, and each jiva is attracted by a particular quality of the Lord. Each of us has our individual service that we offer to Krishna, and only we offer and nobody else offers. We have our individual relationship, like we read when Krishna expands as the cowherd boys. They all had individual characteristics. certain things they like, certain things they don't like. They had their favorite colors. They have their favorite food, right? Mahaprabhu, when he's serving prasadam, he's giving everyone their favorite food. So as we start thinking, Krishna, are you pleased? Are you pleased with how I am treating this guest? Are you pleased with how I am treating this dog on the street? Are you pleased with how I am treating my husband? Are you pleased with how I am treating the temple commander? Are you pleased with how I am treating my body? Are you pleased with how I am treating this table? Are you pleased with how I am chanting your name? Are you pleased with how I am hearing the Bhagavatam? As we start getting into this mood, then we start awakening, not only that I am spirit and a servant, but how I am spirit. It becomes very specific, and one awakens. Oh, I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's friend. I am Krishna's parent. I am Krishna's beloved. And one starts then developing spiritual activities in that mood. Again, as one understands one's identity according to one's quality, one will start noticing, oh, I have this quality of thinking of the Lord as my child. Oh, then one can understand one's identity in Vatsalya Ras, and from there one can do one's activities in meditation. So this is our basic process of bhakti. How to understand our spiritual qualities, from there our identity, and from there our actions. So here we are hearing about the nine sons who were on this platform, who were on the platform of Mahabhagavat. They did not identify materially as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anything like that. They only identified spiritually. But we also hear of these sons of Rishabhdev, who had a material identity in which they were serving the Lord. So this is a temporary identity, an 8 billionth of a second identity. It is not, in one sense, it is not very important. But in another sense, it is important, because this energy is also Krishna's energy. We are studying now the Chatur Slok in the VIHE. So this is what is very astonishing. When Krishna defines Maya, he says, anything which appears to be of value, if without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So we can say, what is false? What has no existence at all, no existence. The concept that I am separate from Krishna, that anything is separate from Krishna, that concept is completely false. If you say this table has no relation with Krishna, this finger has no relation with Krishna, this dog has no relation with Krishna, that concept is false. It doesn't exist. It has no existence. But the energy that allows us to think this table is separate from Krishna, that energy is true. Isn't that interesting? The energy that allows us to think that dog is separate from Krishna, that is a true energy, Daivyesha Gunamayi. It's Krishna's divine energy. So even though our material identity appears to be something separate from Krishna, we have some qualities, right? Like here some of them had Brahmin qualities or Kshatriya qualities. So Brahmin qualities. What are some Brahmin qualities? Can anybody tell me what are some Brahmin qualities? Cleanliness. What? Truthfulness. Yes. What? Compassion. Okay. Somebody else. About fearlessness. Thank you. Titiksha. Tolerance. Yes. Religion. Oh, very good. Someone else in the back. You can talk loudly. What are some Brahmin qualities? Huh? Learn it in the Shastra. Okay. Also, tolerance. Interesting. The word for tolerance is the same word for forgiveness. Huh? To teach others, yes. So if someone has these qualities, they're material qualities, then they can understand, oh, I have the identity of a Brahmin. What are the qualities of a Kshatriya? Chivalry. What else? Resourcefulness. A Kshatriya knows how to use resources. What are other qualities of a Kshatriya? Protection. Compassion, yes. The Kshatriya wants to take care of all of the people. And leadership, Ishwar above. We should not misunderstand this Ishwar above. Prabhupada says Ishwar above is the desire to protect. It's like the feeling a father has. The king is like the Maha father, wanting to take care. So one sees, what are my qualities? And then one uses those qualities in actions in the world. Now, you can do that materially, or, and this is what's really nice, and really special, and really amazing, because the energy of illusion is also Krishna's energy, we can use that false identity in Krishna's service. How amazing! Does not a thing, when applied therapeutically, cure a disease which is caused by that very same thing? So if we are not totally 100% situated in our spiritual identity, if we still have some material identity, then we have to use that for Krishna. Of course, these varnas, here they're not talking about the ashramas. These varnas only apply in the grahastha ashram. You understand? They only apply to someone in the grahastha ashram because these varnas are how you get your livelihood. That's what varna is. It's the way you work in the world to get your livelihood. So brahmachari is a student. Does a student go to work? No. The student is preparing. Prabhupada says in the second canto, brahmachari means the training in the values of life along with specific training for a livelihood. So for the brahmacharis who will go to the grahastha ashram, they are getting trained in the varnas, but are they acting in the varnas yet? No, getting training. Then the vanaprastha is retired. So what do people retire from? They retire from work. So do vanaprastha people, are they doing their varna? No, we see the kshatriyas in the Bhagavatam, when they take vanaprastha, they stop running the kingdom. When Ram and Sita were in the forest, and the sages said to Ram, please protect us from the demons. And Ram said, yes, I will protect you. And then Sita says, why are you saying you will protect the sages? That's the duty of a kshatriya. And you're here in the forest. You're living in the vana. Why are you doing your varna? And Ram said, well, I already promised, so now it's too late. He said, but anyway, I'm not really vanaprastha. I'm here just to fulfill my father's order. So anyway, the retired people, they don't work, yes? And the sannyasi is dead. So dead people, they don't work, correct? Right? So students, retired, dead people, they don't go to work. Correct? Am I correct? So only in the grahastha ashram does one have this varna. And this varna is the way, the psychology of one's qualities, how one wants to act in the world. So one looks, so this is between like, you know, 15, 20, 25 to 50, 55 years old. This is how I want to work in the world. Really, these are the qualities of how I want to enjoy in the world. That's really what these are, these varnas. Do I want to enjoy with knowledge? Do I want to enjoy with people? Do I want to enjoy with resources and animals? Do I want to enjoy with arts and science and services and crafts? So, but the system of Vedic society is, okay, this is your false identity. These are your false qualities. It's like a costume in a drama. You know, it's like we wake up in this world and we're already on stage. We already have a costume. And then you have to kind of figure out, you know, in Vedic times, you would get help to figure this out. Your guru, your parents, they'd help you to understand what is your role. But at the present time, you kind of wake up on stage and you have to figure it out yourself. Okay, what kind of costume am I wearing? What character am I? What role do I have in the drama? But the Vedic civilization says, if you have this set of qualities, you have this identity. You have this set of qualities, you have this identity. This set, this identity. Temporary, false identity. And here's how you can use the temporary false identity to awaken the real identity. So how do you do that? If you see in yourself, I have the qualities of a brahmana, then how do you use that to awaken the spiritual identity? You protect knowledge. You protect philosophy. You protect truth in the service of Krishna. Again, anukulenya, to please Krishna. To please Krishna. Now, if one has the qualities of a Brahmin, that is very fortunate, because the activities of a Brahmana and the activities of bhakti have a very big overlap. The Brahmana worships the deity, and in bhakti we worship the deity. The Brahmin studies the Shastra, and in bhakti we study the Shastra. And this overlap confuses us sometimes in the Hare Krishna movement, that we can't tell, is this Brahmin Varna or bhakti? But if you have the qualities of a Brahmana, it's very fortunate, because it's very, very easy to use your material false identity in bhakti. Very easy. But the idea of the materialistic Brahmana uses knowledge, uses truth, uses philosophy for their own sense gratification. The person in Varnashram, in Vedic society, protects knowledge, protects philosophy, protects truth. And those who are aspiring for bhakti protects knowledge and truth and philosophy simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Then if one has the qualities that one wants to take care of people, we think the kshatriya is always fighting. Actually, the kshatriya is not usually fighting. Therefore, Krishna said, happy are those kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly kingdom. Please do not think the kshatriyas were always fighting. Just like an ordinary man in a family, he is not always fighting to protect his family. But if necessary, he will do that. Generally, he's taking care of his family. So the kshatriya, generally, kshatriya means government. They're taking care of the people, or Prabhupada said also a landlord. They're providing. They're taking the tax money or the rent money, and they're providing food and water and medical education. They're providing all the necessities. So materialistically, if you see you have these qualities, I want to take care of people. I want to give people what they need. Brahmins also take care, but Brahmins take care more on a smaller basis in terms of spiritual guidance. But the Kshatriyas, they want to take care of medical and schools and roads and water and food and all these. They want to give, if they are devotees, they want to take care also spiritually. So the materialistic Kshatriya is thinking, I will take care of all these people so they will glorify me. And they will respect me, and I will get to live in a big palace, and I'll be a big person. And after I die, they will put a big statue of me at the top of the mountain, father of the country. We saw this in South Africa with Mandela. We saw at the top of the mountain, big statue, father of the country, looking out on the city. So this is what a materialistic kshatriya wants. Now, one who wants to engage in bhakti, if they see they have these qualities, then they say, I will take care of people to please Krishna. I will take care of people to please Krishna. I will give people education and food and water and shelter and care and guidance and everything. So Krishna will smile, and I will give them these things in such a way that they will engage in yajna, because the Vedic kshatriyas engage all the population in yajna. Of course, we are engaging everybody in Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama. And if you see that your nature is that you want to generate wealth, because the Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Shudras, they don't generate wealth. If you want to generate wealth, and if you're interested in natural resources and animals, if you understand I have these qualities, then you understand my identity is a Vaishya. So the materialistic Vaishya, they want to take as much from the natural resources and the animals as they can. And in the modern day, they cheat.